I heard it stated by a news reporter this morning on Fox News early this morning that the present administration, the Barack Obama administration, was not nearly as friendly to the nation of Israel as previous administrations had been. What a news flash. But in the Word of, let's just look at the Word of God for a moment. Matthew 24, verse number 1. Bear in mind, friends, that as this thing unfolds, and I want to talk to you eventually about the great and terrible day of the Lord, or the day of the Lord. But as this thing unfolds, you understand that what all of eternity and all of history is pointing towards is that God separated, elected a special group of people because of Abraham. And because Abraham believed God, Abraham found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And God made several promises to Abraham concerning his children. God also made several promises to his offspring, Isaac and Jacob, and made promises to his offspring, David. And many of those promises have not yet been fulfilled. It doesn't mean God's not going to do them. It just means it's not been time yet. And God is doing them, and He's doing them in our very presence right now. And all of what we see taking place tonight in the world around us, Jerusalem, that little bitty country of Israel that's so difficult even to find on a map, Brother Mark, because it's just a little speck in the Middle East. That country is the focal point of all of God's attention. He loves them. They're the apple of God's eye. Now I realize as long as the church is here, the church is the body, the bride of Jesus Christ the Son. But what we're seeing tonight is a transitional period that began May 14, 1948, and that transitional period is not yet completed, but we're just about to end 2,000 years of church history. Matthew 24, verse 1, Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And some 30-odd years later, after this had taken place, Titus, the emperor of Rome, came in and fulfilled the prophecy that Christ spoke of. And as far as the city of Jerusalem is concerned, the only rocks that you'll find still stacked up there are not the walls of the city, just like Jesus said. They're not the walls of the temple, just like Jesus said. But there's a little bit left, just a reminder of a retaining wall that holds back some earth where the temple was built. And the words of the Lord are true words. They're pure words. And God's words are going to come true just like He said they would. There'll not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, His disciples came unto Him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." And the Lord Jesus begins to tell His disciples what would be the transitional period from the church age to God being full-blown dealing with the nation of Israel. That's the day that we live in right now. God has put this world into a transitional period that we're transitioning from the church age into God dealing with the Jews in that dispensation of the tribulation period. And we see that in front of us. Most of the world has no idea what I'm talking about tonight. They're looking for peace and prosperity and to try to get our nation back on some path of civility and some path of some kind of stability and morality and all kinds of monetary gain and all that sort of thing. And Brother Mark, they can't see it's coming unraveled. And it's going to fly apart. It is flying apart in front of our eyes. Jesus said, "Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines." Do you understand tonight that there's a great problem in America tonight with the food supply and food store and stocks of food and futures on food? Do you understand one of the reasons that that's become such a problem? Because present administration has, for the last few years, has spent so much time in the woods hanging on to trees, Brother Jimmy, and hugging and loving on pine trees and oak trees, that they have failed to understand a lot of important things that are going on, and they have absolutely been so diametrically opposed to what we need to do. They fought so hard against the drilling and using of fossil fuels like natural gas and oil and coal until today that they have set aside a great amount of this nation's food reserves for the purpose of making corn ethanol to give us gasoline for our cars. You say, you think there's something behind that? Well, wake up. Get your head out of the sand.
Yes, sir.
Think about what's going on. And the Word of God said there would be famines. There would be a lack of food to be found. If our nation were to shut down, if our highways were to shut down, Brother West, if those diesel trucks were to shut down on the roads tonight, they say that there's a 3 days food supply in the stores in your general area. Did you know that Homeland Security has been admonishing American citizens for the past several months to have a several day supply of food and water in your homes? You heard that on the radio's advertisements on a regular basis. Think they know something we don't? No, I know something they don't. The Word of God said there'd be famines and pestilence. Pestilence. Brother Jesse, on a regular basis, we see all kinds of new problems that have come up by the World Health Organization. All kinds of problems with new strands and super strands of viruses and all kinds of little bugs and creepy crawly things. Have you noticed that they're talking about in the news all the time now how that bed bug infestation is such a tremendous problem now in the United States? Bed bugs. We can put a man on the moon and we can't kill little creepy critters crawling around in the bed. We've so overused antibiotics that every time some child gets the sniffles, mama's got to run to the doctor and get antibiotics. And we've reached a place in our society that the germs are becoming immune to the antibiotics, and we're setting up our people for great pestilence in this country. The Word of God said earthquakes in diverse places in the past 72 hours, I believe it is, but at least in the last week. Have you heard about all the earthquakes in Arkansas? So many of them that one news reporter that I heard this week referred to them as a swarm of earthquakes. I didn't make that up. That came off World National News. A swarm of earthquakes. They've been talking about this in the news for the past few days and so much that these scientists are coming forward and telling New York City, downtown Manhattan is built on a fault line, brother, and they're warning New York City that they're way behind on their 100-year earthquake in New York City. Well, I could have told them that 2,000 years ago. God wrote it down in a book. Hey, where are we at? Where are we at in our hearts and our minds as the world around us is rocking and reeling and we're worried about a job, a paycheck, a few dollars, a bigger house, a nicer automobile, and the world is spinning radically out of control? I'm just reading this out of the pages of God's Word. And the Word of God says, and all these are the beginning sorrows. God said, this is setting the stage for the 7 years tribulation. This is not the great tribulation as such. It's not the last half of the tribulation anyway. It's not the day of Jacob's trouble. But Jesus said, all of these things are setting up and coming up to the grand finale. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Brother Clayton, this ain't talking to the church. This is not the church. This is not the church age. This is the individuals that are going to be left here after the rapture of the church. When is the rapture of the church going to take place? I hope before supper time. And there's nothing to prevent that, Brother Wesley, other than the grace of God and the last little one getting birthed into the family of God. There's no prophecy that must be fulfilled. There's no great catastrophe that has to come. No great sign and wonder. But the rapture of the church is imminent right now and could take place at this very moment. But we don't live like that. We don't act like that. We don't think like that. I'm not sure we really believe that. We say that. The scripture says so, but God has told his children that we need to watch and be sober and be vigilant, and the Lord is about to come. The Word of God says here that now we've transitioned, Brother Jesse, from the place of the people that are here while the church is still here, and now we're into the full-blown tribulation period. Listen, the Word of God said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. God's going to call out 144,000 Jewish male virgins that will stand up and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. Not the gospel we're preaching tonight, but the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel that says that Messiah is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. And they're going to preach that all over the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which are in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now the Lord says there's going to come a time and going to come a place that a man is going to come on the scene, just a physical man, but a demon-possessed man nonetheless. I believe this book teaches that he'll come out of the European continent, Brother Mark. I believe this man is going to come forth as a leader of nations. He'll be a great leader. And the Word of God says that this man is going to enter into a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. They're in such turmoil in the Middle East tonight. All of these nations are, it seems like they're flying apart at the seams. But brother, they're not really flying apart. God is just putting the little pieces of a big puzzle together. And God's aligning all of these things so that when God's ready, in God's way, in God's day, in God's place, God can deal and use them to deal with the nation of Israel to cause Israel to turn back to God. And the Word of God says that this man, the Antichrist, is going to break that peace treaty with the nation of Israel. He will not be able to cause peace. He will not be able to keep peace. And when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. And he will walk into the temple newly built in the city of Jerusalem. And he will literally sit down upon the mercy seat, the throne of God, and declare that he is God. Stay with me a minute. There's a lot of things that are taking place that are building up to this. Tonight we need to have some understanding about what's taking place around us. You need to know and understand tonight, child of God, why is it that there tends to be such a spiritual darkness on the land? Why is there such depravity on every hand? Why are children of God so beat down? Why are men of God so oppressed and depressed and suppressed they can barely find a breath, finally just barely get a holy grunt and try to preach the Word of God, and people seem to be in so much trouble? You need to understand that all of the forces of hell, all of the forces of the damned tonight are gathering for this great time of great tribulation. We've raised a generation of young people that believe that it's vogue and that it's a great thing to take an ink mark on your body. Listen, young people, I beg you, as one that loves you, don't you let the devil trick you into that mess of getting those tattoos put on your body. That is one of the signs the Antichrist will use during the tribulation period. And Brother Mark, he's already acclimated a generation of young people that think it's normal and acceptable and applicable as a whole for a generation to wear these vogue marks on their body. And the Word of God says that this man, the Antichrist, in order for you to be able to buy or sell or to get food, will have to take a mark either in your right hand or in your forehead. All of this is culminating around us while we sit here tonight. The forces of evil and the forces of hell are working around us tonight as we sit right here in video games. In video games, they have literally trained a generation of young people to kill and steal and destroy on video games and to separate themselves from reality so much that you've got young people, teenagers and young adults in America tonight that are literally going out and taking people's lives because they play video games so long there's no satisfaction in that, Brother Wesley, and they want to know what it feels like to kill somebody. What are we doing? We're training an entire generation of people for the bloodiest, goriest time ever known to eternity past or eternity future, the Great Tribulation period. Now I say that, and you can look at me and shake your head and say, yeah, preacher, can you get through, because I want to go home and eat my peanut butter and cracker. But I'm telling you tonight, this thing's on us. It's right on top of us. It's at the door. But if you don't believe that, why don't you stick your head out the window tonight and take a deep breath? You can smell it. It's around you. There's evil all around. We live in an evil day. Perilous times all around us. Everywhere you go, everything you look at is designed to appeal to the lust of your flesh. And Satan is in a rage and a rampage tonight to try to set up his earthly kingdom. These United States of America has gone along with this thing, hook, line, and sinker, just like God said they would. Now I see the judgment of God beginning to unfold on America tonight, but it's not the tribulation and it's not the wrath of the Lamb. What are we seeing in our nation tonight? What are we seeing in our young people, in our society, in our schools, even in our elders that should know better tonight? What we're seeing as far as the judgment of God is concerned is we're literally seeing God pull His hand off, and God says, y'all just do whatever it is you want to do. And God has literally just left people alone, brother. Then we're destroying ourselves.
Yes, sir.
That's all God's got to do is leave you alone, friend. You will destroy yourself. If God leaves you alone, I beg you as one that loves you, I'd rather die and go to hell. I would rather die and go to hell right this minute than to be left in this world unsaved and God just leave me alone. You talk about heaping up damnation. You talk about heaping up more damnation upon you. Hey, you ain't got no idea what you're dealing with. When God leaves a man or a woman alone, or God leaves a nation alone, the destruction they're headed towards. You see, there's a lot of things that are being planned, that are being put in place. The works, the world leaders, and all of these things that are being fit together like an intricate puzzle woven together in our world. We've raised a generation that lives in some kind of a little bubble and some kind of a little pretend world where we see what we want to see, we think what we want to think, we feel what we want to feel, and we're totally unaffected by reality. We've lived in an unreal society, an unreal world. Many of you sit here tonight, and I love you, and I'm your friend. You have unrealistic expectations of your future. I love you. I'm your friend. You need to understand something. There's some things that will make a difference in your world. I'm going to help you with some things here in a minute. But let's look back in the Word of God here. Pray your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. And the Word of God says, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. We understand that during the tribulation period that some 2/3 of Earth's population is going to die in a short 7-year period. If the rapture of the church takes place in the next 5 years, if the rapture of the church takes place in the next 10 years, the vast majority of people that you know will be thrust into 7 years of great tribulation. A time in which 4 billion lifeless corpses will be strewn across the face of planet Earth. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and get you somewhere where you ain't used to looking at. You better think about what I'm saying. Tonight, you think about this. There's a lot of things I can say about a child who dies in innocency that I can tell you from this scripture. But I cannot promise you, based on the Word of God, if the rapture takes place tonight, your child will go in the rapture. Brother Mark, you won't find that in that book. Most of them are old enough that within a 7-year period during the tribulation, if mom and daddy's really saved, born in the Spirit of God, your child may have to stay on this earth and face God with the gospel of the kingdom and make their own choice for themselves. I know you're not used to hearing that, but I'm telling you what I know from this book, Brother Mark. I can't promise you your children will go in the rapture. I can't promise you that. That ought to be some incentive for you, Mama, to lay up some prayers for your babies. You better get serious about this thing. It's about over with. There's some promises I can't make you. But one I can make you, judgment's coming. God's fixing to fall on this nation. There's going to be judgment like there's never been before on this entire world. And the Word of God says here, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, that's Israel elect, that's Jews' sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before, wherefore they shall say to you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I hear a lot of Baptists use this in reference to the rapture of the church, but let me just help you to be theologically sound and correct here. This is not talking about the rapture of the church. This is talking about the second coming of the Lord when He comes in power and great glory. And it's not just dogmatically saying He's coming from the east, Brother Mark. It just says as lightning flashes from the east to the west, that quick, that suddenly the Lord is going to come back. 7 years before this happens, a mystery is going to take place, brother. The church of Jesus Christ, the born-again believers, are a mystery to Old Testament Jews. They're a mystery to most New Testament Jews, and they're going to be a mystery to tribulation saints. And 7 years before this ever takes place, the church of Jesus Christ, in a moment and a twinkling of an eye, will be taken out. Gone. I don't know if they're going to wonder where we're at or not. I know some folks talked about when the rapture takes place, all these airlines will go down and the world will be in chaos. I don't know all that many saved airline pilots. As a matter of fact, I'll just be honest with you, I'm not sure whether the world's going to miss us or not. But if they are, Satan's going to come up with some kind of a big sham to explain where we've gone to. Don't you worry about that. They're not going to worry about us long. Do you understand what this book says? You understand what this word says? You live in the dispensation of the church age. If you have received light and received truth in that the Holy Ghost of God has enlightened you to your lost condition, God's shown you that you are truly not born again. You reject the calling and the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God. Once the church is gone, and it could happen at any moment. Once the church is gone, friend, you never have another opportunity to get it right ever. God will send you strong delusion. You play and make a monkey and a mockery out of the things of God, and God will make a mockery out of you, and He'll laugh while you cry and try to pray or do whatever it is you try to do. But you cannot get saved once the rapture of the church has taken place. If God's ever enlightened you. A preacher, are you saying that a Gentile can't get saved during the tribulation? No. There'll be multitudes of Gentiles saved during the tribulation, Brother Jesse, but there'll be Gentiles that God never enlightened to the truth. There'll be men and women that live places, Brother Mark, that did not have a gospel witness. It won't be you. It won't be you. It won't be Wilkes County. It won't be Flint Hill. It won't be North Wilkesboro. There's been gospel all over this place. And folks have heard the gospel and thumbed their nose at God, made fun of old time preaching, made fun of old time worship, made fun of old time praying, made fun of some of y'all that love God. And one of these days God will have His day, and when He does, God will make fun of that crowd while they cry and wallow around. That's what your Bible says. The Word of God says, for as lightning cometh out of the east and soundeth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. There's going to be great battle. There's going to be great destruction. I had the privilege, Brother Jesse, just last week sometime, me and Sister Lori was going out of the church property there in Wyoming. There's a little baby deer that got run over on the church property just off the side of the road, brother. And there were two immature bald eagles that were eating on that carcass. And we talked to Brother Todd about that and asked him about that. And he said, they're immature bald eagles. And I said, I really didn't understand that an eagle would scavenge like that off of a carcass. He said, they won't if it's laid there and rotted. He said, but while the meat's fresh, eagles will eat that. God said there's going to be fresh meat on the ground. And the eagles are going to gather together. That's why some of the birds in the Middle East, some of those ravenous birds that used to for many years were on an endangered species list that only laid one egg and possibly raised one young at a time, tonight are raising two and three young. Why would God see fit to let those birds multiply in the Middle East now? Because God's going to fix a big dinner for them. He's got plans, buddy. He's going to use them one day. Wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven. Did you know that tonight as we sit here, there are scientists that are scrambling to try to figure out how to stop a meteor that's headed toward the earth that they say will be here within the next few years, that's the size of two football fields, and they are afraid that it's going to have a collision with earth that will destroy the earth? God said the stars are going to fall out of their sockets. The Word of God says the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. There shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's when the church gets to ride down with Him, Brother Jesse. Verse 31, He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together His elect, that's Jewish elect, from the four winds, and from one end of heaven to the other, not just necessarily Jews, but tribulation saints will be gathered together. And now you're going to see the judgment of sheep and goats, preacher, which is a judgment of nations based upon how they treated Israel during the tribulation period. America, I don't think it's going to fare well there. Verse number 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. Jesus is just saying there are some practical things that you can look at and you know. Brother, when you go to looking at these little old leaves out here and they start to branch out and the tender buds start to come out, you can tell the weather must have warmed up and it's getting closer to spring. Jesus said, so likewise, ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation, what generation? The generation that sees the budding of this tree. Brother Ricky, in Scripture, this tree is a picture and typology of the nation of Israel. Israel's been a nation since May of 1948. That means if you're some 63 years old, you were alive when Israel became a nation, right or wrong. And the Word of God says, this generation, what generation? The generation prophetically that was alive to see the budding of this tree. This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall they also the coming of the Son of Man be. For the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. People live today like they're going to live forever.
Yes, sir.
And they can't see the flood coming. They can't see the danger. They won't hear Noah standing up bellowing that judgment's coming. If you'll notice some cartoons, we saw a cartoon in the newspaper books just the other day that had a picture of some old bearded man on the street wearing a sandwich board talking about judgment and doom coming. Brother, they're making fun of the preaching of the Word of God. They're making fun of the preaching of the Word of God. Some Hollywood movies that you get, many television shows. I don't have network television, don't own television. But I get around it enough to see that most of Hollywood, Miss Pat, is making fun of old-time religion.
Yes, amen.
Making fun of old-time preaching. There'll come a day they'll wish they had a man of God to stand up and tell them judgment's coming. There'll come a day they wish they'd have listened instead of making fun. And that's a choice they all got to make, friend. God didn't call me to save souls. God called me to sow seeds. And I'm doing my job. Verse number 40. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. This is not the rapture of the church. This is not rapture scripture. This is tribulation scripture. At the end of the tribulation, when God sends His angels to separate at the end of tribulation. Verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come, but know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, would not have suffered the house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready. You say, well, he's just telling the Jews this. He was telling his disciples this. He said, you watch and be ready. They were watching so intently when Jesus went out on the Mount of Olives and ascended up to His Father. They stood there looking because they thought He was fixing to come back.
Amen.
I don't know if we think He's coming back or not. I'm telling you, He's coming back.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you with everything in me, judgment's coming on this land. Judgment's not just coming on America. It's not just coming on San Francisco, but judgment and the wrath of the Lamb of Almighty God is about to fall on this entire world.
Yes.
Stay with me. The Word of God said, therefore be ye also ready, For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Brother, you be faithful, and God's got something for you. Verse number 48, but if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunken, and the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brother Ricky, there's going to be a lot of folks that really intended in their heart they was really going to get right with God one day, but they're going to wait too late, Brother Jesse. Amen. It's going to be too late. Let me tell you an interesting story, preacher, that broke my heart, but at the same time encouraged me. We are living in the last, very last of the very last days. The darkest days the church has ever known seem to be upon us spiritually, Brother Mark, with oppression and depression and suppression on every side. There's times that I walk out of this pulpit and honest for the Lord, I'm so depressed I can't hardly walk up those steps, because I feel this in my soul, brother, that I bellow the word of God with everything in me. I prayed, I've studied, I've sought God, I know I've got a message from the Lord, and I see folks come in unconcerned, more worried about the weather report, more worried about a ball score or what's going on somewhere else than what's going on with the immortal souls of men in the house of God, and just come in and drag yourself in here if you can get here. And sit around and preach. Can't get a holy grunt out of nobody. Sinners turn their nose up at God and walk out the door. And Brother Jesse, I feel like a total failure. Now I know a lot of that's just the devil if I've done what God told me to do. But Brother Preacher, there was a great Indian leader, a great Indian chief, Chief Joseph. Chief Joseph of the Nez Perce, who was around many of the places we've lived in the West. Chief Joseph decided that he would not be subjected to the white man's authority, would not be put on a reservation. Chief Joseph wanted to live like he had always lived and be free and have the freedoms that he had always had. And Chief Joseph put up a great fight against the white man. He took his tribe and his people and he traveled in the most horrible conditions for some 1,800 and some miles. He eluded the army and the cavalry for some 1,800 and some miles. Brother, he had gotten so weary. He had been told and he understood that if he could go north, if he could cross over into Canada, he could be free. And the United States government couldn't come after him and couldn't put his people on a reservation. And Chief Joseph, after 1,800 and some miles of leading his people, Brother Mark got so weary that he made that great speech that many of you know or at least have heard. When he said, I will fight no more forever. Brother, he gave up. And when Chief Joseph stood up and said, I will fight no more forever, he was 40 miles from the Canadian border. After 1,800 miles, two more days' journey, he'd have been there, he'd have quit. Two more days, Brother Mark, and quit. You know what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to quit.
Yes, sir.
He wants you to quit. He wants you to lay down. You say, Preacher Mike, all this is gloom and doom and desperation. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Except for the secret weapon.
Isn't that right?
Secret weapon number one is the power of the gospel. The preaching of this book blows sin out. The preaching of this book brings men to a place where they realize judgment's coming. Listen, hey, the big secret here, Brother Mark, find somebody's got an ear.
Amen.
Somebody somewhere's obviously got an ear. If they didn't, we'd already be gone. And God give us the gospel, but see, all of the forces of darkness that have gathered around us are trying to suppress us and keep us from preaching this book and telling men there's a judgment coming, brother. Let me ask you a question. When this thing's all over with, child of God, Me and my wife rode down the road the other day, and my wife got a good education. The state of North Carolina gave me a pretty decent secular education in a whole lot of different areas. I know there's 453.6 grams in a pound. Ain't that good? Me and my wife rode down the highway the other day talking. And Brother Mark, we were talking about if we could just go back and have had some resolve in our younger life to do some things where we could be today.
Amen.
Let me ask you this question. When all this is fulfilled, when all this is over, Miss Debbie, what are you going to look back on and say, I wish I'd done different? Brother Ricky, what will you look back on when this is fulfilled, just like God said it will be and it will be? What will you look back and say, I wish I'd done different? Will you wish you'd have prayed longer? Will you wish Preacher Mike would have preached louder? You will. You will. You'll wish you'd have come to church ready to worship and praise God. You'll wish you'd have boldness to tell your family judgment was coming. There's a whole lot of things, but I'll tell you what, God give us. Hey, listen, instead of worrying about what's going to happen then, why don't you do something about it now? We got the gospel. The power of the gospel. We got the prayers of God's people, Brother Mark. We have a privilege tonight, and we're going to exercise in just a moment. One of the greatest privileges God ever gave you if you're really saved. And that's to be able to pour your heart out to God. I hope it's disturbed some of you tonight to think that if the rapture takes place tonight, your kids may not go. But this book speaks of the saints of God and says their works do follow them. So why don't you lay up some prayers here now? In case you have to leave your children alone one day, God will honor your prayers. And even if it is during tribulation, your child can get saved. Oh, you ain't going to take it serious, are you? Well, do what you want to do with it. But I'm telling you, this thing's over with. And we better do more than play around and wonder about what we're going to do tomorrow, where we're going to go for lunch, and what we're going to do after church tonight. We need to get a hold of God. There's two things that's going to shake this world up, Brother Jesse, the prayers of the godly and the preaching of the gospel. This book says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Brother Preacher, I'm not so arrogant that I think the whole world just needs to see Brother Mike. Miss Debbie, I'm not that stupid. You don't need to see me, and nobody else does either. But I am bold enough to know that I have got a message, and I've got a story to tell, and I want the whole world to hear what I got to say. And God's given me a new zeal in my heart to pray that God would open up doors for me to be able to preach, Brother Mark. I think you ought to pray God would open up doors for the preachers of God to be able to preach. I think you ought to be able to pray that God would give you opportunities to witness, because there's a lost and dying world out there that needs to hear. And there's an answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. And He's not stopped dealing with sinners. He's dealing with folks sitting here right now. He's been dealing with folks here today. He's been dealing with folks here. While I've been gone, God's been speaking to hearts. And there's still hope. There is hope. But there'll come a day there'll be no more hope. But the preaching of the gospel, Brother Mark's the secret weapon that God's children has got against this whole thing. And if there's anything the devil wants to shut down, he wants to shut down God's men. I mean, if he can't get you to run off with some woman or steal the church's money, he'd like you to just get so depressed, you'll just sit down and quit. That's the planet I live on. Just get so beat down, you don't even want to try no more. I mean, you give it all you got. You do everything you know to do. And you come in, it seems like people just like water off a duck's back. Nobody even listening. Brother Jesse, I'm sorry I'm so carnal-minded. But I'm awful glad, Miss Pat, God's a lot bigger than I am. And God knows that when I can't see what God's doing, God may be fingering around in somebody's little old heart. And I walk out of this pulpit so disgusted and frustrated, I'm ready to sell my Bibles at a flea market somewhere next week. And God knows the whole time, Mike, I'm dealing with somebody, you just can't see it. You're getting that word in their heart, you just can't see it. But I'm going to tell you what, we're so focused on our feelings and what we feel and what we think and what we see that we forgot how to walk by faith. If God loved us enough to let us come together tonight, and God gave me enough liberty to read as much scripture as I've read and keep your attention as long as I've kept your attention, don't you think God's trying to do something?
He's trying to help us. He loves us. He wants to help us. And God wants to help His church be encouraged. I know the days are dark. This world is not your friend. I know the government's trying to take all your money away from you. I know they want you under the thumb. I know this world is not your friend. I know that. But I got a friend. Sticketh closer than a brother. Buddy, I'm going to tell you what, as long as I stick with him, everything's going to be all right. Bob, I hope you're getting a hold of this and understanding God set a plan in action. And God's plan's going to come to fruition. It's going to do what God said it's going to do. And God's going to get great glory on this planet when He takes His wrath out on it one day. And here we are right in the tail end of this thing. Brother Jesse, God chose you. Out of all the billions of people that have lived on planet Earth, God chose you for such a time as this. This time, this place, God chose you to be that old boy that walks around talking to everybody, handing CDs out. Brother, what a privilege that God chose you now to pastor a little old mountain church. That God chose you to be a man of God, to carry a Bible with the gospel of Jesus Christ in this dark hour. Hey, God didn't choose wimps for this time. Hey, there's been a whole lot easier times you could be serving God than right now. And you could have been serving God in the 1800s when D.L. Moody and some of those other men of God preached and God was on the land and the tens of thousands were being saved. It would have been a lot easier then. God picked some special forces. Some soldiers. For the here and now, that'd be willing to stand up and fight. Do what you can for the glory of God.